Morning, church. Today I want to talk about sheep, wolves, snakes, and doves. No, this is not a class about science or nature. These are things that the Bible says we should be like. At least three out of four of those animals, the Bible says, at some point in our lives, we should be like. And one of them, we should be aware of. And if we find ourselves looking like that, we should change to be one of the other three. I've studied Matthew chapter 10 recently, and wow, I forget how powerful a chapter that is. We read verses every now and then in small increments in Matthew 10, but read together, you see Jesus Christ preparing his people for the world. It's a preparation for what to expect when we desire to tell people about Christ outside of this church. And I forgot how powerful the chapter was. Things come out in a powerful way in context. I think I have a few sermons from Matthew 10 as a result. And I want to read a bit of this in context. For example, Matthew 10, beginning at verse 16. Verse 16 being the focus of today's sermon. But he says in Matthew 10:16, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. But beware of men, for they will hand you over to the courts and scourge you in their synagogues. And you will even be brought before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they hand you over, do not worry about how or what you are to say, for it will be given to you in that hour what you are to say. For it is not you who speak, but it is the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. And children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved. But whenever they persecute you in one city, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel until the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his master, a teacher, nor a slave above his master. It is enough for the disciple that he become like a teacher, and a slave like his master. If they have called the head of the house Beelzebul, how much more would they malign the members of his household? Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I would tell you in darkness, speak in the light, and what you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim upon the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a cent? And yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows." And there are verses before and after just as powerful. And I recognize some verses apply merely to the apostles alone, and this specific ministry here. However, there are other concepts here that I want to bring out which definitely apply to us today, particularly verse 16, where he says, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, so be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves." Again, four animals in that one verse. We are supposed to be like three out of four of those animals. One of those animals we have to look out for. And if we are that particular animal, change into a different one. And no, it's not snakes, the animal that we are to avoid being like. Let's begin with sheep. How are we to be like sheep? Personally speaking, I don't want to be like a sheep. That's not the animal I would have picked for myself if I had to be a certain animal. As a matter of fact, when you study sheep and understand them, it's a wonder how these animals have not become extinct. They are happy to not think for themselves. They will gladly follow somebody without much resistance at all. They are huge and fluffy and obviously sheep. There's no subtlety or secrecy with sheep. And they can't really defend themselves and depend entirely upon a shepherd. And so I say, why, God, do you call us sheep? And the Bible keeps on calling us sheep from the very beginning of the Bible to the very end. We are called sheep over and over and over again. So therefore, if God keeps calling me a sheep, I have to figure out why. Because if God calls me a sheep, it must be for a good reason. Because God is only good. So when I take the above listed reasons why I didn't want to be a sheep or don't want to be a sheep, and I translate them through Jesus, if I apply God to all the reasons why I thought sheep were a bad thing, suddenly being a sheep is a proper thing. It's a very Christian animal to be, if you will. These ideas of my fear and pride get transformed into real Christianity. I said I don't want to be a sheep because they do not think for themselves. However, in Christ, it is true, and it's very good to not think for ourselves per se, but think like God. I therefore prefer to think like God rather than think like myself, because if I'm thinking like God, it is far superior than thinking as I would think. Proverbs 3, verse 5 shows that it is very good to not lean upon our own understanding, but to trust in God, because no matter how smart we are, there are things we can't figure out no matter what. Proverbs 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. I may say I want to think like myself, but if I think like myself, I'm not thinking like Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:14-16. But a natural man, this is who I am, a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So therefore I realize it is good for me to think like God and not for myself. I said I don't want to be a sheep because they will follow someone without resistance. But I realize that in Christ, once again, that is good. John 14, verse 6, this is what Christ demands, that we follow him completely. John 14, verse 6 is where Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through me. In that very same chapter, verse 15 says this, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. I want to be somebody who's obedient to the Lord. Therefore, if I show resistance to him, I'm not being the Christian I need to be. So again, God calls us sheep. I want to be like that. I guess I realize. Earlier I said I don't want to be a sheep because they are obviously sheep. there's no stealth when it comes to sheep. They you can see them from far away. They're easily there and they can't hide. But in Christ, it's good to appear obviously Christian. That we are Christians that appear that way far away. That we are not trying to hide. That from far away and obviously a Christianity can be seen. That is the goal of all Christians. So therefore, I'm happy to be like that as well. Matthew 5:14-16. Matthew 5:14-16 says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. So therefore, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So if I am very obviously a sheep of the Lord, it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. I want to appear like this. I want people to know I'm a Christian. I don't want to keep it a secret. I said, I don't want to be a sheep because they can't defend themselves and need a defender. As if I could defend myself anyway. As if I can save myself. In reality, I need a defender. In reality, I cannot take care of myself no matter what I do. I need a shepherd. Psalms 18, 1 through 6. Psalm 18, 1 through 6. The mighty warrior, David, who, I don't recall him losing a battle against anybody one-on-one. Or even in an army. I don't recall easy battles that he lost. And yet David was often scared. He recognized that when it came down to it, he needed the Lord. And whenever he succeeded, it was from the Lord. Psalm 18 is a great chapter. Read the entire thing on your own. But I'll read the first six verses, which show the honesty and reality of our existence. David says in Psalm 18, verse 1, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and a horn of my salvation, my stronghold, I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. That song, I will call upon the Lord, that we sing, is a call of help. I need you, Lord. He says, the cords of death encompass me, and the torrents of ungodliness terrified me. The cords of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God for help. He heard my cry out of his temple, and my cry for help before him came into his ears. Every single person will be in that place one day in life. The question is, do we dare, do we desire to call upon God for help? In the next verses, you see God come out of the clouds like a superhero and save the day and bring him to safety. And it's just a wonderful chapter to read. But we are sheep. Whether we like it or not, we are sheep. We need help. It turns out that I didn't want to be a sheep because of my own pride, the delusions of my own grandeur, my own testosterone talking too much, my American pride saying I am free and strong and the best in the whole world. No, I'm just a human being. Just more than we discuss, without God, we are nothing. So if I put my pride aside, it's so good to be a sheep with Christ as my shepherd. And so then in verse 16, Matthew 10:16, go back there again. Matthew 10:16, he says, I will send you like sheep into wolves. Now, when you read that initially, it's like, that's a very scary idea. After just understanding a bit more about sheep, it's not so scary to be sent among wolves. But please be aware that there's wolves out there. They are wolves. And we might think, well, if there's wolves out there, then we should stay by ourselves, keep to ourselves, stay safe and sound. No. Christ says, I am sending you like sheep and among wolves. We have to be aware of what wolves are all about. Have you ever studied wolves? Read about wolves? They are conniving, very intelligent. They work together, and they're rather cruel. They're rather merciless as well. And I find there is no better way to describe people against Christ in this world. People who vocally oppose Christianity and can't stand Christians, very similar acting in this way. I'm not talking about people who are not Christians yet trying to do what is right. That's different. I'm talking about people who view Christianity as a threat to their financial gains, emotional self, personal issues, or lifestyle decisions. Who view Christianity and Christians as a threat. I've noticed that we are people as Christians who should forgive. We should forgive people of their sins. Forgive and move on. But I realize that, man, being forgiving is miraculous. Being forgiving requires God, because people do not want to forgive each other in the world. They hold on to grudges. They hold on to hate. They want to fight each other. They want to cause problems. I'm somebody who is over and over again just seeing just how it's almost as if the world wants a battle again, to have wars, to have divisions, to have racism, as if hate is a currency. Hate is the food out there they want to consume every single day. And if I dare say a solution of love or forgiveness or recovery, they hate me for it. So be aware of wolves. But please don't be wolves ourselves. Matthew 7:15 says that there are people who are called wolves in sheep's clothing. That while they may appear like sheep, appear like us, they are indeed truly wolves. Matthew 7:15, that applies to false prophets specifically. False prophets, whatever that might mean. But I also want to talk about Christians who don't want to forgive, who live on hate themselves, and who show no mercy like wolves. I am very grateful for my wife. She's a merciful one. I tend to not be merciful, and she has corrected me over and over again and been correct over and over again. I can't tell you how grateful I am that Nicole is merciful, because I know if I don't show mercy, then God won't show mercy for me, you see. So what a blessing to have somebody on my side who takes care of that serious problem. Let's not be like that. Let's not be unmerciful people. In Galatians 5:14-15, I read it describing wolves in church that we should avoid being like. Galatians 5:14-15. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you should love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, I'm thinking about wolves. If you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. No, when dealing with such wolves, especially those outside, Christ said to be shrewd like snakes. Matthew 10:16 again. He says to be shrewd like snakes. Again, I don't want to be a sheep, but I don't want to be a snake. What an odd animal to use. Aren't snakes always bad in the Bible? I mean, we had the obvious Genesis story. Satan himself became as a snake. We have the verse where Christ says, what father among you will give your son a snake instead of a fish? And everybody is scared of snakes. Well, there are some people who are not afraid of snakes, and I fear them as well, okay? But to be accurate, snakes are not evil. I mean, a snake is not in itself an evil creature. They represent a lot of evil in the Bible per se, but they're not evil. There's no evil animals. They're innocent and animals like every other animal in the kingdom. And Jesus compares himself to a snake. Jesus Christ compares himself to a snake. Right before the most famous verse in the entire Bible, John 3:16, right before that verse we have this, John 3:14, where Christ says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Christ refers to the story where there were poisonous snakes sent into the camp to rebellious people, and they were all poisoned by these snakes. And Moses helped us out. So Moses crafted a staff with a snake on it, and whoever looked upon this image was healed of that poison. And in the same way, Christ himself went on the cross, a rather gruesome image, an image that we don't want to see, that we might be repulsed by, but anybody who dares to receive that Christ on the cross will be healed. So snakes are not always bad. Why does Christ want us to be like a serpent? Well, snakes are hard to catch. Very hard to catch. They don't put themselves into dumb situations. And generally, if you come upon a snake, it's in a situation in which they are at the advantage. You know, they're in a certain spot for a reason. If you find one, you hear one, you back away. You don't try to make them back away. They got you. They see you before you see them. And I find that we as Christians have to be the same exact way. This morning we were discussing how much should we know about the belief systems of other belief systems in the world? Okay, should we only hear about what Christians say? Should we be informed about different cultures, religions, beliefs, even the ones that are against ours? Should we be informed about those things? And a good debate about whether or not children should be raised that way or not. And I'm not going to give my opinion about that. I know how I was raised, and I was kind of thrown into it. Okay, and I was corrected on a regular basis about what it's about. But at some point in life, for sure, whether it be children or adults, we have to be aware of other systems of belief, aware of what is being said out there for two reasons. One, so that we can not fall for false doctrine or false teaching. Two, so that we can know why we believe what we believe. I mean, if you believe something, have you ever questioned yourself why you believe that? Have you ever challenged yourself with your own belief system? Or do you keep it all to yourself? And number three, most importantly, so that we can be informed as to how to talk to other people outside. There are all good reasons to learn about these ideas. So to be shrewd as a snake, to be understanding of that. Please know and be well aware at the same time that the world is full of people who either want us quiet, who want us to sin with them, or want us to be destroyed. That's how the world is. Be aware of this. Don't be gullible about this. Don't be naive to these ideas. Please be intelligent, is what the Lord is saying here. When it comes to sin, flee from sin. Again, once the snake realizes it's in a bad situation, it disappears. 2 Timothy 2:22 says this about sin. Don't sit in there and fight sin. You know, don't sit in there and just resist and try to be strong and endure. No. The Bible says, 2 Timothy 2:22, now flee from youthful lusts. It doesn't mean that only youth have these lusts. It means that they begin at youth. There are many old people with youthful lusts still. Now flee from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Again, snakes don't find themselves in situations where they're kind of in the bad spot. Again, don't let the devil have an advantage over you. Don't give him a foothold in your life. Ephesians 4:27 says this. It says, well, beginning verse 26, be angry and yet do not sin. Right? Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And therefore, do not give the devil an opportunity. See, if we are angry people, we were the kind of person the devil could take advantage of, manipulated, tricked into things. Be smarter than that. Avoid this anger. If you're angry with somebody, before the sun goes down, try to make peace about it in your heart or with that person. And don't give the devil a chance to get us. Be vigilant and aware, the Bible says, and aware of what's going on. The Bible also say the devil's like a roaring lion, waiting to see who he can devour. And yet, as we close, Christ says, be like doves. Be like doves. Oh, it is very tempting to be as mean as they are out there. It's very tempting to be a wolf against other wolves. I want to be a wolf right back. That's my nature. That's my human nature. I tell you right now, I am my human nature. I was going to say that. When someone teases Christ or puts me down as a Christian, I'm like, oh, you want to tease Christ, huh? Okay, look at you, sinner. And that's where I want to go. Oh, you think I'm in trouble as a Christian? You're the one in trouble. Or the cruelty I see. Sometimes I want to be cruel right back. Oftentimes, I bring up the example over and over again because it happens over and over again. The car, driving in a car in the Bay Area, okay? These people out here are mean. And I have entertained and done things in the past that I want to be mean back to them, okay? Oh, you cut me off, huh? Okay. How about that? You know? And I said to myself, what if that person goes to church and sees me preaching that Sunday? How about that, Alex? And I've become more and more, I become more and more the submissive defensive driver now. You want to cut me off? I don't care anymore. All right. You want to speed by me? Go ahead. I'm not going to risk my salvation or my life or my passengers over you being foolish. Get to where you have to go, where you have to go. So be it. Try to be like a dove. I want to be like a wolf. But here's the thing about it. If we act like them, how are we different? How are we different if we act just like the world? I mean, what are we saved from? How are we saved if we're just like the world? How are we changed? And also, how can God, more importantly, how can God work on people in the world if we are dumping our humanity all over them? I don't want to show them my humanity, my old self. I want to show them God. So no, We have verses like turn the other cheek. Matthew 5, 38 through 40. Matthew 5, 38 through 40. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, not resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also. If we are reading those verses literally, there's power behind it, but not as much power as spiritually. We're slapped in a variety of ways in our culture, at our jobs, with our peers. There's a variety of ways to turn the other cheek. Okay? And so be this way. This is not weakness, this is power. We answer with gentleness. In college, I was able to destroy people in debate. And they left humiliated. But guess what? None of them were saved. None of them were. They were just humiliated and destroyed. But they did not become Christians. And so the Bible says, answer with gentleness, with words seasoned with salt. 1 Peter 3, 13 through 16. 1 Peter 3, 13 through 16. Who is there to harm you if you prove zealous of what is good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you. Yet with gentleness and reverence, some verses say fear, because you know, I view it as God's watching you. So be careful how you talk to people, okay? Speak as if God's talking, watching the whole situation. And keep a good conscience, verse 16 says, keep a good conscience in the things in which you are slandered. Those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. So be as gentle as doves, my brethren. Be as gentle as doves. But also be like sheep and be like serpents. But don't ever be like wolves. The Bible says if you believe in him and are baptized in the name of Jesus, we will be saved. Anybody here who has not received that request, received that promise and blessing in their lives, today is a great day to do so. Think about these things as we stand and sing.